Welcome to Victory Christian Center of Rancho Mirage, California. We are a house of mercy and a church for the harvest, shaking the desert with the power and the love of God, taking Jesus to the world from the Coachella Valley. We pray that the word that you are about to listen to will increase and strengthen your faith. Enjoy today's message. Victorious, he lay victorious, over sin,
over death, over all. Your life that was given previously 3 days ago by Dr. Mark Barkley. Do not be discouraged about this thing. You're not battling it alone. The Lord says it is not yours. You are not the burden bearer, but I am. You find courage in my presence now. You find hope in me. I will not fail you. I know it seems overwhelming to you. I know because you're not me. You don't know what I know, and you try to see what I'm doing, but you don't always see what I'm up to. But I can tell you this, you're my child, and I'm working now on your behalf. You just do what you've been trained to do, and I'll do the rest. You take courage that it isn't over with yet, and my plan is for you to come out the victor, and I'll get the glory for it.
Yes.
So, Father, we receive that wonderful word. Scroll along if you're doing it by, scroll along with me. But let's say this together as we stir our expectation, and I'll be brief and brilliant so we can get over to the senior dinner before we, but there's a word from the heart of our Father that I need to communicate. And it blessed me, and I believe it'll bless you, and I can't wait to hear it again. So let's say this together. This is my Bible, and this is God speaking to me. I am who the Bible says I am. I have what God's Word says I have. And I can do what the Scriptures say I can do. All right, turn with me, if you would, to the book of Genesis chapter 12. And I want to talk to you today about being an exporter, an importer, and an exporter of God's blessings. The whole story of God's love for His people is He wants us to be blessed, and He wants us to be a blessing. God made a covenant with Adam and Eve. There was a relationship that He had with Adam and Eve. And as Pastor Craig says, every time he gets in the pulpit, God gave them dominion. They messed up the dominion. Christ had to redeem that back to that place. But now we live in a fallen world exercising dominion. So it's a little bit different than it was in the Garden of Eden. But we have been given that dominion still. Well, because Adam and Eve messed it up, God was so interested in this whole idea of connecting with and blessing His people and for His people being a blessing to others, that He started again here with Abraham. Now, the book of Galatians chapter 3 says that if you are Christ, anyone in the room that's a Jesus person, if you're Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to Abraham's promise. I don't think the fullness of that really sinks in on us often enough, but that what God said to Abraham and how He connected with Abraham and how He related with Abraham is how we connect with God and how He relates with us. You see, God showed up to Abraham and said, you're going to be my friend. We're friends, Abraham. You're not just my servant and you're not my follower, but we're friends. And it was a relationship that was by faith and not by performance and not by works. There are no rules that God set out for Abraham to keep and works and efforts of his own doing that would establish that. It was a gift that God gave to Abraham, just like that we have the gift through Christ of connecting with our Creator. And so if you're Christ, you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to Abraham's promise. And so God showed up and said, Abraham, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to prosper you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to hang out with you. We're going to be friends. Every area of your life is going to experience my touch. And I'm going to make you a blessing. Are you all here? So you and I are called to be recipients of or importers of the blessings of heaven. Jesus taught us to pray this, Father, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How many of you know good things are going on in heaven? Well, Lord, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so we want to pray into our lives and receive into our existence on this planet, the richness and the fullness of His blessings, that we import that so that we have something to export. Thank you for your excitement. I could be gone another couple weeks if you want me to. It's okay. Kauai is calling me. I love that island. I'm telling you, seriously. So, Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Listen to the heart of our Father. The Lord said to Abram, get up out of your country and from your kindred and from your father's house unto a land that I will show you, and I will make of you. Everyone say make. You know, here, this is one of my points, but God wants to make something of you different than what you are today. No matter how far along you are in your journey with Him, there's room for improvement. And He wants to make us into something wonderful. I will make of you, Abraham, a great nation. And I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. The Apostle Paul says it this way, God will cause grace to abound unto us, so that in all things and at all times, he told the Corinthians, in all things and at all times, having all that you need, you'll be able to abound unto every good work. See, Abraham needed to be blessed so that he could be a blessing. The first thing was blessing would come to him, and then blessing would come through him. There's a single mom that you are aware of, and she has four terrible tires. Unless you have four tires that work for you, it's going to be difficult for you to take care of her four. You have to receive, you have to import, you have to embrace and allow God to pour into your life and into our lives the richness of His blessing so that we can be a blessing. So He says, I'm going to make something of you, a great nation, and I want to bless you, and I'm going to make your name great, and you're going to be a blessing. Verse 3, I'll bless them that bless you and curse those that curse you. And in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now, Bill Johnson said something that was pretty profound. And I think it's just so good if you'll just let this absorb into your thinking. Once you've tasted of the reason you're alive, nothing else will ever satisfy. Once you have tasted of the reason you are alive, nothing else will ever satisfy. We are not created to be on this earth to beat our brains out in a job for 40 years and retire and go to Orlando and die. That's not it. We have purpose. We have destiny. We have giftings on our life. There are anointings in each of us in this room. There's purpose sitting right here. Yeah. And for us to taste of that, if you have ever led someone to the Lord, and you know that eternity is affected forever and ever and ever and ever, and that someone will be with the Lord in heaven all of their days, that there's just nothing like that. And there's really nothing that satisfies like that. That's purpose and destiny. To encourage someone with a broken heart and to be the instrument or the vessel that God uses, like Phil and Brenda in that song. How anointed was that? And I love the Excuse Me song, but the other was just so profound. And they were both ministered to us, but that other song, we all have dents in our armor, don't we? So we can all identify with that great song that God gave Phil. But to be the one who is that encourager to someone who's in a desperate place, there's just nothing like that. Once you've been God's voice, God's hand to someone, it's just not as fulfilling. The promotion at work is good, but it's just not the same as the eternally significant stuff. And so, God invites Abraham to this great journey. He says, I want you to get up. I want you to move out. I want you to get out of your comfort zone. I'm going to make something different of you. And invites him on this journey of being blessed and of being a blessing. And each and every one of us in this room are invited to that same journey. Some of us are more aware than others, but you are invited to a great walk with God. An exciting and a supernatural venture with heaven on earth. Jesus, in Matthew's gospel, if you would turn with me there, Matthew chapter 4, and you all know this, but let's look at it once more. Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said unto them, follow me, and I'll make you. There it is again, make you. God said, Abraham, I'm going to make you. Jesus said to his disciples, I'm going to make you. I'm going to make you fishers of men. I love that Jesus always spoke the language of the people to whom he was ministering. You remember, I have a friend who took a group to Mexico for a one-day outreach in a city, and they went to the town square, and there was one woman who went on this group of 20 or so people. And she said, oh, when I'm here in Mexico, she said, I want to get a prescription fulfilled because the drugs are a lot less expensive here. So I'm going to go to the pharmacy. And he said, well, he was fluent in Spanish. And he said, do you want me to go with you? And she said, no, I can do it. I can take care of it. And so she went over to the pharmacy, and they continued the ministry, passing out food and clothing and ministering to people, praying for people. And so he was sort of waiting for her to get back. And so he kind of cast an ear toward that pharmacy, and he heard someone yelling, kind of hollering, lifting up their voice, and in English. So he said, I made my way over to the pharmacy, and there was Sister Sue, whatever her name was, yelling in English, as if speaking more loudly in her language would somehow interpret and transform into Spanish. And that's how we are as the church sometimes. We want to holler at people in our language, in our little Christian colloquialisms, in our church talk, and we want to say it real loudly in hopes that they'll get it in their language. And it's the exact opposite of what God told us to do. The Apostle Paul said, hey, become all things to all people that you might save some and might win some. So Jesus to the farmer talked about sowing seed, and Jesus to the fisherman talked about making them into fishers of men, and Jesus to people who were observers of nature said, look at the birds and consider the lilies. And so Jesus always connected in such a great lesson for us to be comfortable connecting with people where they live. And that's a freebie right there. But Jesus said, you're fishermen, follow me, and I'll change you. I'll transform you. I'll make you into something you're not right now. I'll make you fishers of men. And so they straightway left their nets and followed Jesus. So they responded to the invitation for the journey. This great undertaking of receiving and importing God's richest blessings into their life that are so freely given, so that they have something to export to others. And let me finally read then 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. And you know this passage as well, but let's look at it one more time. And it's so beautiful. 2 Corinthians 1. And I read these first few verses of introduction as the Apostle Paul writes to the Corinthian church. He says in verse 1, Paul, an apostle, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God which is at Corinth, and to all the saints which are in Achaia. Listen to verse 2, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. Now let me just pause here and I'll give you another free, this is not my sermon, but I will get to it real quickly here and we'll conclude. But you have to hear this. A lot of people are real angry. They just live angry. And they don't have a revelation that God is for them and that they can rest in that. Some are on a performance treadmill. Some are on a guilt treadmill. All kinds of things that make people angry. And because they're angry, they want God to be angry. And so on His behalf, they attribute anger to Him. Thank you. And but God's in a good mood. God's in a good mood. And now, He's a righteous God, and judgment certainly will come. But we live under the blood of Jesus and under the protection, if we keep ourselves there under the protection of that blood. And so it's a whole different thing. So, but listen to the words. And when you read on this side of the cross, when you read on this side of what Jesus did through his death on the cross, His burial, resurrection, and ascension, you always hear words like this: grace and peace and mercy and all those kinds of things. So let me read it one more time. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of mercies and the God of all comfort. Verse 4, here's what I really want us to see. Who comforts us, our Heavenly Father. He comforts us in all our tribulation, that we might be able to comfort them that are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves were comforted by God. See, so it talks about importing comfort, receiving comfort, being blessed by His comfort, His mercy, His grace, His tenderness, His love, to receive that so that we can export it. Everyone say, I'm an importer and an exporter. I'm an importer and an exporter. You know, if you're an importer of fresh fish, how many of you think an importer of fresh fish ever worries about where they're going to get fish? No, they've got it right there at hand. And so if we will import God's blessings, it is available to export to others. Okay, I have 5 points. You ready? Number one, change precedes the blessing. So God says to Abraham, change, Abraham. I'm going to change your geography. So change comes in a lot. Change of attitude, change of expectation, change of geographic assignment, change of direction. On Thursday nights, now this Thursday, Reverend Desiree Washington will not be here. She will begin again next. She preached Thursday. It was fabulous. And then she'll have the next 4 Thursday nights after that to encourage you to be here about communication, you know. And there'll be people in this room, and I'll just say it, they'll say, well, I'm not coming on Thursday night about communication. But then when they have conflict in communication with someone significant, it's an emergency and they've got to see somebody right away. But let me just tell you, this is prepared stuff, anointed by the Holy Spirit about communication. This would be the time to get ahead of any conflicted communication that might happen, to get ahead of it and get some understanding and insight and some tools and some skills. And so be here on Thursday night. So Thursday night, she talked about an introductory message. She talked about most people think that communication is about what you say and what you hear. Right. Which is true, I mean, what you say and what you hear. But she said it's really more basically a heart issue. Because what is in your heart filters how you hear. And what's in your heart when your bucket gets kicked is what spills out in the form of words or attitude and so on. So she talked about change of heart as a primary key to good communication. Are you willing to take the heart journey? Basically is what she said. And that's point number one, is there's a change of direction before the blessings begin to flow. It might be just a change of expectation, a change of your perception of your Heavenly Father. Jesus said this: if you, being natural parents, know how to give good things to your kids, if they came to you and asked for an egg, would you give them a scorpion? Well, of course not. If they ask for a piece of bread, would you give them a stone? Well, certainly I would not. Then Jesus asked the question, well, if you, being evil or natural parents, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give good things to them that ask Him? So maybe the change is just in that understanding. But change precedes the breakthrough. Number two, shaping and making is part of the process. So really, when we say to the Lord, I want to walk in those blessings, I want to receive all that you have for me, and I know it's not a matter of my trying to earn it, but what can I do? Lord, I put myself as a vessel that needs improvement on the master potter's wheel, and where there's brokenness or where I'm cracked or bruised or broken, you put your hands on me and make me better than I am today. Because that's what he told Abraham, that's what Jesus told his disciples. And so that making and shaping process is part of the journey. Number three, when we make that determination, then blessings ensue. Are you with me? When you look at the disciples of Jesus, was it rosy? Was every day perfect? Was it all beautiful? No, but blessings started coming on them. And they got to observe and participate in miracles and signs and wonders and healings and deliverance and supernatural provision and multiplication of loaves and fishes. And so every aspect of human need was addressed by Jesus, and they got to participate in that. No, it wasn't perfect, but the blessings began to flow. When they responded to the invitation of Jesus, he said, hey, let's make some change of direction, change of assignment, put your fishing nets in the shed somewhere, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. When they engaged on that journey with him, blessings began to flow their way. Number four, our endeavors will be people-driven. Motivation is such a huge part of our walk. And if your motivation to do ministry is to be recognized, if your motivation is title or position or power or authority, you need another dip. Are you here? The motivation will be about people. The motivation to export will not be so that we can say, oh, look, Brother Bob is a great exporter. It will be because you want to bless and refresh people because you have received blessing and refreshing from the hand of your Heavenly Father. God loves people more than anything. The little chorus, if you remember it. God loves people more than anything. More than anything, He wants them to know. He'd rather die than let them go. God loves people more than anything. And number five, this exporting of the blessings that have been imported into our lives will be eternally focused. To know that your life, that your ministry, that your gift, that your encouragement, that your refreshing of another can result in eternal significance is one of the richest things we can participate in on this earth. Are you here? Now, it's so fun to do other things. But to know of the eternal significance of the light of our lives, like the little video that we watched earlier, we're light. And that light brings hope, it brings help, it brings people being able to see where they're going. That light of our lives can bring an eternal blessing. All right.
Thank you for tuning in today. We would love to see and to meet you at one of our weekend services. We are located at 34500 Bob Hope Drive in Rancho Mirage, California. Our services are on Sunday at 9 and 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. Please check out our website for more information at www.victorychristian.org. And for the most up-to-date, exciting events that are taking place at Victory. We pray that you would prosper in every way and be in health just as your soul prospers. You are victorious.